Oh, I guess before we even, we're in Hebrews still. We're not done yet. I just want to thank everyone on, and everyone that's here and everyone that's not here, watching, listening, or hope the word gets passed on. Thank you so much for your prayers. I'm not even going to try, but I can't tell you how much the prayers have sustained us and held us up and got us through, and God did just mighty miracles. And so thank you. It seems like a small thing. That's all that the Lord asks for, is to watch and pray with thanksgiving. So that's all I'm going to ask for. Thank you so much. And boy, that one worship song, if I ever need reminding, and I just got broken because, you know, we look around here. I mean, Pat's here. Blood clots. Cece, blood clots. Anthony, blood clots. Tommy, the problems he's got. Teddy, cancer. Taffy, getting blown up. Cancer. I mean, come on. Do we need reminding that we serve an almighty God who's going to have mercy on whom he'll have mercy? And we should never, ever back down from that. Things don't always go the way that we want. But they're going to go the way that he's got them planned. And we have to stand on that and just at least encourage one another. This is happening. This is miracles just around us here. What more? What more do we really want? So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just a quick update. I know, you know, it's we've been gone with what we've been going through, but we're also in that transition. And I want the church to know, at least as much as Pat and I know where we stand on our transition in, with Calvary Chapel, with the ranch over at Arapaho Ranch, and we're moving off that. It's kind of a two-sided coin. We have a choice, but we don't have a choice. We're moving, and Seth, once that day comes up that we are no longer here, we're going to try our humanly best to get up here every week from down in Firestone, where we're going to be. And Seth is going to be stepping up. I'm going to be stepping down so that he can step up. And Seth did a wonderful job. Unfortunately, I couldn't bring it up on my Google Pad. I have no idea how to work it, but I could listen to it on my phone. And I think Seth did a great expositional teaching. Amen. On this last part of Hebrews as we went through it. Yeah. He gave a great history lesson within some of those things, bringing out, I feel, very good biblical encouragement between the warnings that were in there and the faithful sayings of our Lord that we can stand on. And I just hope and pray that this church will continue to not just thrive. You know, thriving is one thing. You can thrive just laying on the ground. I hope this church just marches right through this town, that once I'm done and Seth steps up, I want the church, if I can ever ask for anything besides your prayers, is to realize that we are here because of the sacrifice and the salvation of Jesus Christ. We're not here for Doug Gibney and his little quips up here. We're not here for Seth and what he's got. We're just mouthpieces. We're lips for the light. That's all we are. And in his obedience to stand here Sunday after Sunday, I hope and pray that this church can do nothing but grow, that we can get this word beyond ourselves and out there. That's why we're here. We're saved. We're going. But let's not shut the door to heaven just because whatever the reasons might be. So thank you. Thank you for receiving what's happening, and I would encourage us to, we've got nothing but good times ahead of us right now. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I almost went to James, but as I sat missing what we usually do as routine, you know, to keep our walks going, I don't know what you have for a routine. I've got a certain routine as being one of the pastors here in the church that I have to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to study. I've got to dig for a sermon every week. And I was kind of relieved, in a sense, from that. And I had time not to dig for the sermon because Seth did the digging for me. And there's nothing like watching somebody run a shovel. I don't know about anybody else, but boy, it's relaxing, isn't it? He did that work for me, for us. But I started thinking, wait a minute, it's not that simple, is it, Lord? What are you trying to show me in here? And the Lord was really, I feel, ministering to me and asking me two questions that I hope I can send every one of us home with today. What have I learned from Hebrews? So it's not like close the book, okay, move on to James, we're done, we got it, right? What did I learn? I'm not speaking about you. You have to ask this question to yourself. What have I learned from the book of Hebrews? And then once I really get, and don't go crazy with, you know, there's 20, 30 things. We need to focus and kind of funnel it down a little. What have I really learned that God is ministering to me? What is the Holy Spirit prompting me with? And then the other one, you know, I came up with a whole list. I wrote them all down. And then all of a sudden it was like the Lord was asking, well, how are you going to apply it in your walk, Doug? Wow. So I'll ask you, what did you learn from Hebrews? What did we as a church learn from Hebrews? How are we as a church going to apply in our walk here at Calvary Chapel? How are we going to apply those things individually, corporately, together to be a functioning body? And how am I going to do it personally? Just me. Forget everybody else. You're going to do things all through the week with these, I hope. How am I going to do it? And when I think about those things, there is going to become a responsibility for me in front of my Lord one day that I said this. Lord, I learned this. Lord, I want to do this. I want to apply this to my life right now. There'll be a responsibility that comes with this. Now, please don't feel that this is legalism that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about legalism. Although, unfortunately, legalism has crept into the church, I think, in our Western culture today. There's clergy and there's laity and there's all this stuff. We'd have to stop that. We're the body of Christ. Where are we going with this? What are you teaching me? How am I going to apply this, Lord? And that's when I think the church starts to solidify, not legalism by any means what we're going to hear today. I look at them, if you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, all these things are, in a sense, be careful with that word, all, they're signposts. They're just signposts for my journey, my walk, along this life for however long it might be, and none of us know how long it's going to be. Everyone, just boom, that quick, it's over. There's signposts that God is trying to get me to look at and say, okay, walk this way, walk that way. What's one of those dangerous ones, Lauren? Don't go down the valley or whatever it is. There's signposts, so please don't look at them like, oh boy, I've got to do this. So let's get moving on here. And these are just a few areas in my life over what we've been going through and that my absence and Pat's that God has been revealing to me. Holy Spirit's trying to show me at this time, at least in my life. By no means is he done. Even if we get all of these down, he's not done. That was just okay, we got that. Now let's move a little bit further. So anyhow, the first one I got is, and I hope you're in Hebrews 13, was sacrifice. I learned sacrifice through the book of Hebrews, not only just because of all of the talk about sacrifice and the rituals and the rules and whatnot, but there is personal sacrifice. This is the greatest sacrifice that you and I could ever look to, is Jesus Christ. I'm not speaking about his, he's done it. Our salvation is sure, it's complete, it's finished, but there is a sacrifice that I feel is still required in each and every one of us. You know, Seth made a statement, I might say it later or something, but you know, Paul made that statement, I wrote to you in a few words. Are you kidding me? You know, a few words? This is really, you know, like Malachi was the last word of God to the nation before it was destroyed, in a sense, in our Bible. And when we look at Hebrews, I feel this is kind of a last word, not revelation. That gives us a lot of hope. This is a last revelation, last word that God is trying to get to us, because those few words, they weren't a few words. That was a dump truck of doctrine that God poured on us. But with doctrine comes a duty, my part. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. So what I was looking at was sacrifice, and I started thinking about sacrifice in my life. What have I sacrificed? What have I really sacrificed? Laid down on the altar for my God, for what he's done. Another one of our worship songs. If you need help remembering, just think of how many things he's done for us. How many things he's done for us. And one day he'll tell us why he wasn't able at the point in time to do the things that we really wanted him to do. Because there was some other path that needed to be trod. So sacrifice. And I looked, okay, Lord, so what are you telling me? So what I learned in 13, 1 through 6, let's hit them quick. These are sacrifices when they're done in the name of Jesus Christ. There's sacrifices on Doug's part when I apply these in my life. Let brotherly love continue. That's a sacrifice because there's sometimes I am not feeling very good to let my brotherly love go and flow over to someone else's life. Is that too boldly, truthful? I don't know. Anybody else ever have a problem with really loving somebody the way God wants us to love them? That's a sacrifice on my part. He's already enabled me with the power to do that. But when it comes, and I'm not going to do it to Tom, I can't sit next to you anymore. I was crying like you before. I thought, oh no, it's been a transfer of spirits. I got Tommy's crying. Have you ever had that? You just can't muster it up to love somebody. That's because I'm in my power. But if I get into his power, that's a sacrifice on my part, and he will accomplish it. Don't be forgetful to entertain strangers. Sometimes I don't want anything to do with strangers, right? For sometimes you might be entertaining angels in there. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds. We're not saying remember, oh, yeah, well, they deserve that. That's why they're in jail. They have a stupid move. Oh, he's a crook. God is saying, sacrifice Doug a little bit. Remember those that are in bonds. Write to them. Call them. Think about them. Pray about them. Right? Might be angels. Marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed undefiled. That's a sacrifice on my part. Husbands, I'll speak to you. Do you ever get to a point sometimes where it's just a marriage is real rough because things are said or things aren't done? It doesn't matter. God is saying, husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. That's a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice that you and I had to follow. Marriage is on. I'm married. There are people out there that wish and pray that they had somebody to be married to, that they could love, that they could work through things. And sometimes we just say things, do things. In our mind, think, I wish I wasn't even in this. What am I doing? Sacrifice when that comes up again. So, and these are going to be signposts because you're going to see one of these pop up in your life or mine this week, guaranteed. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. You ever covet anything? That's a sacrifice not to do it. Or when Pat says, you haven't touched this junk in this garage for the last 5 years, throw it away. No. And then she goes, well, give it to Robin. No. He's got enough stuff. Sacrifice. We haven't got a clue. God was, Doug, you don't understand yet what I'm trying to do in your life. And I like this part here where it says, again, it's a sacrifice when your lifestyle doesn't have any covetousness, holding on to the things of this earth. Be content with such things you have, for he has said, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is kind of a freebie. Do you ever, that one verse, and I've been looking to find another one, it can be read backwards and mean the same thing as it says forwards. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm a simple guy. That blew me away this week. It was like, whoa. And then I was looking for all these other ones. Okay, that didn't sound right. That doesn't sound good. That one works, whichever way. God is with us, even in the sacrifice. He was with us, you, the sacrifice, because he looked down from the cross and the joy that was set before him. That's you, that's me, that's you. He was sacrificing for us. So when I sacrifice something to this world that I've accumulated over my 74 years or whatever, he's with me. I'll be able to get rid of it. I might not have to do it. Wow, okay. So sacrifice. We'll get beyond that. Submission was another thing that I feel that God was trying to show me, and that's Hebrews 7 and 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their lifestyle. And 17, obey them that have the rule of you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls that they might give account, and that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Submission. That's a sacrifice. I don't know about you, but sometimes for me to submit my will, my emotions, my whatever it might be to somebody else, I have trouble with that. And God is trying to show me that I need the submission. It's a submission to authority. And if we can't submit ourselves simply in this, those who have rule, who has rule over you? God, number one. Then he puts pastors and elders and everybody else into us. There's submission out there that, I'm not going to submit to anything out there. That cop was wrong. That person is wrong. God is trying to show us that this is a sacrifice when I submit myself, because he's saying to obey all those that are in authority over you, then that's a sacrifice of my giving to the Lord. How can I submit to a God that is unseen if I can't submit to the authorities that God has placed over us? We have trouble every single week in the church because we don't like the way the preacher preaches. We don't like the music. We don't like the Bible study. We don't like that person that's organizing the whole event. And God is saying, Doug, I want to see you sacrifice a little more in your life with those thoughts, because mostly they're just thoughts. So, sacrifice we've got, submission we've got, separation. And that, this, you know, it's more than 2 Corinthians 6. It says, come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a God to you, and you'll be my children, sons and daughters, I think is what he puts on there. But submission and separation. Separation from this world. Separation. Separate ourselves from those things that might cost us to sacrifice. Gee, I'd like to do that. Well, you know, I don't. Everything is legal, but not everything is beneficial. So my sacrifice will be in my separation from that. And most of us as Christians, we've come out of the world already. We've given our lives, we've given our hearts to Jesus Christ. And now what he's asking is that separation, and I don't know what it is in your life. I could speak to some of it, but that would be betraying a confidence, wouldn't it? So I have to separate myself now that I am. And it's not, you know, come out from among them. Some Christians just, we don't want anything to do with that world out there. They're all just a bunch of sinners. They're all just a bunch of wackos. No, that's not what God is saying. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Separation. And that, at times, I guarantee you, will be the first point that I started with. It'll be a sacrifice. You want to stand around the shop when the guys are really getting rolling and having fun? It's fun sometimes, isn't it? But boy, when you know inside, this isn't right. This isn't sounding good. I shouldn't be here. Well, if I walk away, they're going to think something else of me. Well, that's a sacrifice. God, you died for me. Can't I even live for you? So you walk away. Separation, sacrifice, submission, separation, supplication. Supplication is one of the, this one I've been trying to get through this week, and it's, I don't have the knowledge. I got it one time before, a few years ago, what supplication really is, and I got it again 2 weeks ago, what supplication really is, and that's in Hebrews 13:18, it says, pray for us. So it's prayer, but it's more than prayer. You know, oh, thanks, Lord, for this food, or, you know, blah, blah, or sometimes we're eating and you, supplication, it's begging, It's crying with strong tears. It's consistent. I found supplication 60 times in the Bible where we're in, at least told to. Have I been in that position of not just throwing a prayer up to God, but actually stopping, bending and bowing my knees, crying with strong tears, begging, please don't let this pass. Please don't let this one happen. Please don't allow this, God. And doing it and doing it and doing it until we see one way or the other a result from that. Supplication. The Lord is our example again of sacrifice. And I thought, what did he go through in the garden when he sweat great blood drops out of his pores, out of his eyes? What kind of intense feeling was that? And what God was showing me, at least, again, Doug Gibney, not you, and if there's room in the woodshed, come on in. When have you been there, Doug? Was it only for your daughter and your wife? Well, I mean, I learned to pray in both those hospitals lately. And I left a note for Seth on that one, Psalm 120, verse 1. I cried to the Lord, and he heard me in my despair. But I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, you know, please. I'm talking about crying where nothing else around you even matters anymore. Food, water, nothing. When that doesn't even come into your mind, because right now I am focused on this situation with the only help that is possible, and that's Jesus Christ. Are we there? Did we learn these things in the time that we've been in Hebrews? So how can I stand firm in a world that seems to be shaking all around me? I don't know about you. Anybody ask that? Everything's falling apart, isn't it? It seems like it's falling apart. Everything's being shaken around us. Everything is changing. How can Doug stand in a world like this when everything else is falling apart? Well, God brought me back to Doug. Sacrifice. My sacrifice first. That's how you stand in this world, because I'll never leave you or forsake you. I can do all things right now. So how do I stand in here when everything is shaken? And what he told me is my sacrifice, his sacrifice first, and then my sacrifice at those times when he calls for it. And sacrifice, I wrote a definition here. You know, what's sacrifice? Self-giving to the Lord whatever he desires of my time, my earthly possessions, and my energy to further his work. See, sometimes we sacrifice trying to get God to bend his will to our will and do what we want, not what he is thinking for our life. Sacrifice is how you stand. We first look at him, and then we, with the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when he tells you, call Aunt Francine, you know? How many times have you got one of those in your head? Call so-and-so, and you don't. And a day later, or sometimes the same, that person calls. All we have to do is sacrifice my little tiny sphere of time for 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour. Listen to what God and the Holy Spirit are saying and do it. That's how I stand. And you can just start to feel God is, wow, there's something here. Not legalism, duty with the doctrine that we all know. But what exactly, Lord, you know, sacrifice, real quick. No, not real quick. Sorry about that. I thought that might pass after being gone for a little bit. Romans 12. You all know this one, but I think we need to look at it differently because, you know, in my life, I won't say that. I've got a garage full of stuff that I haven't even touched yet that I have to move. But Pat says, where are you going to move it? I have no place to move it. So I put it in barns that I have. Now I've got stuff in garages and 2 barns. Where am I going to put that stuff? It's sacrifice for me to get rid of that stuff. See, sacrifice, though, is, and I hope we're following that train. For me, this is stuff I just stored it away. And I think in our Western culture, sacrifice is giving out of my extra or giving something that doesn't mean any, like, oh yeah, hey, anybody want this keyboard? That's not mine, didn't cost me. Come on, have it. That's not a sacrifice. We give something that's not ours, or something that's extra, or it's something that doesn't mean that much to us, but we look at that as a sacrifice, giving it up. And that doesn't even come close. Remember what the giving to the Lord of myself, whatever he desires of time, earthly possession, energy, to further his work for no other reason than that. So what God is asking me, I said, let's turn to Romans 12, 1. I beseech you there. I'm begging you, is what Paul is doing here. Brethren, by the mercies of God, and I'm telling you, there's another word that we've got to start looking into. I mean, mercy. Look around in here even. Mercy in our salvation, number one, if there's nothing else. How often has God just poured mercy out on us, poured grace out on us? And I can't sacrifice some of this stuff that's not going to matter a lick, or it's not going with me? I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living
sacrifice.
Huh. I mean, we've read this one, right, Taff, for 50 years here probably. But has it ever really hit that what God is saying now that we've now, Doug, put my name in there, you present your body a living sacrifice. That means whatever he might say to me, and be careful on this, you know. I'm not saying to stand up at the Denny's when you're there next week and say, all right, everybody shut up, I'm praying here. And, you know, no, a living sacrifice to do his work. This is what God is asking for. Wow. Which, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. With doctrine comes duty. Sacrifice is in there. This is what I hope I can learn it before I pass out of this world, but I think this is what God is trying to speak to each and every one of us. These things that we've learned, we're the living sacrifice. And when we start to live in that mindset, heart set in our lives, I think we're going to see God do some miraculous things first in our own lives. Don't be conformed to this world. That's a sacrifice. That's hanging out with the guys, hanging, laughing at stuff. All the things that we do in our humanness. Don't be conformed. Don't be molded. Don't be pressed into that. Sacrifice a little bit is what he's saying. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That I'm going to prove these things. I'm going to prove it to myself. And I'm going to prove it to others who are watching. That's what God is asking about sacrifice. And remember, what did it say? And I won't ask you to turn there because I just had this thought. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Seth gave you a good teaching. Some were saying, oh, yeah, but that's not for me. Oh, I don't think I have to do that. Listen to this. Listen when you read this, what God is saying, because he's desiring. He doesn't want all the stuff that we can just give away and not even think about. He doesn't desire those things. Here's what he desires. Turn to Micah, if you would. That's a hard one. That's one of page 103 in your King James Nelson Bible. 1295 in yours. Man, you got extra words in yours, huh? Here's, what does it look like? What was God saying to me about sacrifice? So it might open the door a little bit to me. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, hear ye, and this kind of jumped out at me too. Hear ye now what the Lord says. Arise, right? Hearing and doing. Doctrine, duty. James that we're getting into, he says what? Don't be just a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. And man, it's been pouring into my ears this week, you know, and it all hinges on that. It's going to be a sacrifice. So he says, hear now what the Lord says. Arise, contend before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead. God is pleading with me. Yes, this is written to the nation Israel. Yes, it's the Old Testament. It was written for a purpose. Not everything is written to us, but it has an application for us. So remember that, because I don't know about, I'm his people. Are you his people? Are you his people? Are you his people? And if you're not, then I'd suggest, man, get on your knees this afternoon. Or maybe before you get in that car and hurl yourself down the road with a bunch of other people that don't know what they're doing, give our lives to Christ. He paid the thing, the sacrifice. Oh, my people, verse 3, what have I done unto you? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. What's God done against me? What has he done to me? What has he done for me? I could put 100. That's Nanny. When Teddy and I were growing up, she used to walk by us and say, count your many blessings. Count them one by one, and you will see what the Lord has done. What's wrong with this woman, you know? I'm in time out right now. It was in time out. It was just go to your room, grounded. But count my many, and God is asking, what have I done to you that you can't give a little sacrifice? What have I done? And my answer is zero. 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 He saved me from death, period. We're saved. Then think about it from that point on. Or think even prior to it. How many times did God save you before you were even his? Do you ever think of those? Those weren't just my abilities, happenstance, good luck, luck of the Irish. No. God was in there through his spirit, moving things, working things, knowing, you're my daughter. You're going home with me. You're my son. I'm taking, and he moved heaven and earth at times to get us to the point where we're sitting right here today. What has he done? I'd ask you to ponder that. And then he, four and the rest of them, let's read them. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, bondage. All of us were in bondage. These are the things that he did if we need remembrance. He redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I, you know, who were we servants to before we came to Jesus Christ? And I sent him before Moses and Aaron and Miriam and all my people. Remember now, Balak, the king of Moab, consulted in what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim and Gilgal, that they might know the righteousness of the Lord. Remember, God wouldn't let Balaam curse Israel. He did this for us. There's times he even shuts our mouth, right? What a sacrifice to put the two teeth and the two lips and the two hands over a mouth so this one tongue doesn't say, that's sacrifice. When we don't do it, he's done all these things and we just kind of let them slide. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Here's the sacrifice that we look at. Just giving of something that doesn't cost. And bow myself before the high God, is verse 6. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with cares of a year old? That's not real sacrifice. Verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? See, we always want to give other than myself. I think that's just natural tendency of humanness. At times it's okay. I do go visit. I do cook a meal. You know, we do these things, but the tendency, I think, of every human being is to want to give something other than myself or something that will not encroach on my time. And here is the Lord saying that's not what he wants. Verse 8, he has shown you, Doug, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly, you've got to put that sacrifice into your life this week. What's just? Sometimes we go overboard on things, don't we? A sacrifice would be, because that's how I was so mad I had to say this. Sacrifice. Don't say it. Just hold it back. God will look at it if it's done justly as a sacrifice to him in his name. And to love mercy. Do you love mercy? Yes, I love getting mercy, don't you? But do you love giving mercy? Not earned in your mind, let's say. Do you love giving mercy when you don't think the person deserves it? That will be a sacrifice in your life and mine. As we look at the individual, getting ready to lambast him with the fruit of our lips. And if we hold ourselves back and ask God, please, Lord, hold my tongue, he'll look at that as a sacrifice. Mercy. I love getting it. Like I said, whoa, it's a good feeling, isn't it? But how many times have we withheld it from somebody else? And that mercy comes in a very big package called forgiveness. Forgiveness. So what? What in the heck does it matter? What somebody said about you 10 years ago? What does it matter about what they might have done last week or whatever else? Let's just remember that God sacrificed that I might be able to stand here and flap my lips every week. Can I forgive? Can I show mercy on somebody, either in my own family, circle of friends, whatever it might be? Just something to think about. And to walk humbly with your God. Everything to his obedience. That's going to be a sacrifice. So that's kind of what it looks like. This sacrifice that I've learned. And don't try to do all of these. Like I said, just grab one this week. Or when you see an occasion that arises in your life, realize, wow, that's what I just heard. I just heard, let my brotherly love continue this way, and I'm not doing it. Let me sacrifice that unto the Lord. Let me see what that feels like in my life. And I think if we practice it, I think it's 28 days to make or break a habit is kind of common thought. I think if we do it often enough, and that's my problem, I don't do it consistently enough. If we do it consistently to the Lord, with the Lord, under his direction, I think things are going to change. But see, can I have one more? Isaiah 58. I still want to do it my way. I did it my way. See where that's going to wind up. No. Yeah, can I have two more? Okay. You know what? Let's do Psalm 51 first. Because I think that's... Remember Romans 12:1, it said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants my whole body. And that's not... He just doesn't want my attendance to sit in a chair on Sunday. That's great. This is where we come get fed. This is where we come get refreshed. This is when we share and we pray for each other. God wants my whole 24/7. He wants me. He wants everything I got. And I saw this week sitting in a hospital, I should say last week with Ma laying there. God was showing, I want your whole body, Doug. Because I'm sure you've said it. What else do you want from me? You know? I can go down a list of people I've lost in my life, things I've given up in my life. And I just needed to get those out of your way so that I can talk to your heart. And then I get this, and I started seeing everything. So let's look at Psalm 51, and again, you're going to have to put it in. This would be a great sinner's prayer. The sacrifice is given up of yourself. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, I'm begging you, please give your life to Christ right now. It's so simple. You don't have to go through, and this is a great sinner's prayer. Have mercy on me. Oh God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Boom. Sinner's prayer. Just speak it today. Take it home. Psalm 51, look at it and mean it from our hearts. Want to keep adding to it? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So God wants everything, right? Here in verse 3, I say, he wants my eyes. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Wow, my sin is there. I'm seeing it. I know what it is. Sacrifice then. He wants my eyes. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when you judge. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts. He wants my mind. He wants everything. You know, and it's just not here when we hear the heart and the bowels. He wants everything that goes on inside here because that's the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. He wants my mind. Be renewed, it said in Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of our of our mind. The hidden part, thou shalt make me know wisdom. This is real holistic medicine. This is real sacrifice. All of me. Used to be an old song, all of me, why not take all of me? And I'm starting to sing that to the Lord because I know there's parts of me that he doesn't have. And I don't know what it's going to take to let those things go. I'm just being real honest with you. Because sometimes the enemy and sometimes my own thoughts say, what's the difference? What does it matter? He'll forgive me. And the hidden parts, make me know wisdom. Those things that I hide, those things that I won't admit, those things that I won't let anybody see. He wants my mind and my inward being. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Kind of like Isaiah 1:18, isn't it? He wants my ears. Verse 8, make me to hear joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sometimes sin and the lack of sacrifice in our life breathes us to the Lord's voice. I don't know if I can support, but I think sin deafens God's voice to some of my cries at times because I should be praising him. And when other people are praising, make me to hear joy. Do you ever get annoyed by somebody who just belts it out sometimes? We used to tell Merck, go stand in the back. Don't sing like that. Not up here in the front, because we're trying to sing and lead 100 people to sing. Make me to hear joy then. And sometimes we don't want somebody else up here, so I'm not picking on the words, because I want them to hear me. Do you ever have a pastor that's going crazy and telling you how great everything is and you're saying, yeah, you ought to put my shoes on and walk a little bit. Make me to hear joy, Lord. Sacrifice, that's what it's going to cost to just shut that down and to hear those praises and that joy. So he wants my ears also. He wants my heart. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. A constant spirit is what that is. Cast me not away from your presence and take not the Holy Spirit. He's not going to take the Holy Spirit. If you're in him, you're his, you're there. But I tell you, we can sure grieve the Lord. And in that grief, I think we feel it ourselves. Emotions. He wants my emotions. Verse 12, restore me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Our emotions. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. We should walk what we talk. He wants my feet. He wants my lips, like I said before. He wants us to be witnessing. 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Again, witness. Lord, open my lips and my mouth to show forth thy praise. That's going to be a sacrifice in the midst of a spot that we'll find ourselves, whatever it might be, to speak a word about our Lord and Savior. It's going to be a sacrifice because it'll cost you something. For thou desirest not sacrifice, empty sacrifice is what he's saying, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, now here's the whole point of what I was trying to start with, and I hope God is trying to show me. The sacrifices of God. See, but I gave up cigarettes. Oh, I gave up drinking. I gave up cursing. Pete has the grand one when he sat in a cockpit of an airplane when the pilot or the co-pilot was saying, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this anymore. And Pete said, well, what do you do anymore? You know, this is us. Here's the sacrifice that God wants, a broken spirit. And a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He wants my whole being. My whole being. And if you have time this week, read Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, because the church is, we used to have a time that it was pushed on the body to fast. Now, I'm not saying just, you know, here. There's nothing wrong with fasting. But it was a big deal at times. We're all going to fast this week. And then everybody, we fast from TV. We fast from a little bit of food. We fast from drinking, smoking, cussing. We fasted from going to McDonald's. Whatever, you know, we just pick whatever we like. Isaiah 58 tells what real sacrifice is. And if fasting is done from something in the name of the Lord, I think it is taken by the Lord as a divine offering of sacrifice. Because the Lord said, well, yeah, you fast, but you go around, you throw ashes on your head and sackcloth, you let everybody, oh no, I'm fasting this week. You shouldn't tell anybody you're fasting. That's not a sacrifice anymore. God said, you know what God said? I'm going to take one more minute. He tells us all about us and what we consider a fast or a sacrifice. And this is what God wants in verse 6, and you don't have to turn there. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of the wicked? To loose and undo the heavy burdens? And let the oppressed go free? And that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor and the cast out into your house when thou seest the naked? That thou cover him? And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? That's sacrifice. And I see the church doing less and less of it. And I see myself doing less and less of it in these days. I don't have time for it. No, I'm not doing that. No, that's not. Sacrifice is what I've heard from the Lord, what I feel I'm learning. Now what I have to do is try to figure out how am I going to put it in the shoe leather in my personal life. So I hope I leave you with something. Thank you for sacrificing your time listening to me. But, I mean, sure. Father God, I have to admit that I've heard and heard and heard over all these years. And I'm just starting to understand that my sacrifice is wanting. What I feel I've given up is absolutely nothing that matters. It's those things that you want. So I just ask you to somehow take all of these words that I've spoken today and bring them down into the heart of each one of us here today, because we truly want to serve you, Father. We truly want to be your servants. We don't want to walk in legalism, Father. We just want to walk in attention. We want to walk with a broken spirit of who we still would be without you. We want to learn that to pour out mercy is even better than to receive mercy on my part. So, Father God, we thank you for those things that we have learned, are learning. And as Paul ended his, or the author of Hebrews, ended his epistle, Father, grace be with all of you. Amen. 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 Amen.